Well, it's been a while, but we're back to our text in Colossians 3 and in verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In the past few weeks, we have looked just at the first part of this verse. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And we spent time in this passage looking at and trying to define what does Paul mean by the word of Christ? And what does it mean to have the word of Christ richly dwell in us? Or how can we have the word of Christ richly dwell in us? And we saw first that the word of Christ, and I believe it is true, I believe the word of Christ is all of the scriptures. It's not just the word about Christ, his life and his resurrection, or the words of Christ like the Sermon on the Mount. It's all of the scriptures. And the reason I believe it's all of the scriptures is because Peter says, when the prophets spoke of old, the Spirit of Christ who was in them spoke of things that were to come. So Christ is present in the new and in the old as the giver of the word. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who gave us the word and shows us the things of God, gives us the word in relationship to the Son and the Father. So all of the Bible is from God. It's from God the Father. It's from God the Son. It's from God the Spirit. And we have the word of Christ. And this word of Christ, and we spoke of a quote from Dr. John Gill, old Dr. Gill, an old Baptist who lived a long time ago, had a very sour puss. And Spurgeon made a few comments on it, but he was in the place where Spurgeon preached just before Spurgeon. But he was a very knowledgeable man. And he said this, by which, that's the word of Christ, may be meant the whole of Scripture, all the writings of the Old and New Testament, which are by inspiration of God, were indicted by the Spirit of Christ, speak and testify of him, were written for his sake and on his account, and therefore may be called his word, and are what should be searched into, carefully attended to, diligently read, and frequently meditated upon, and which we are able, under divine blessing, to furnish with all spiritual wisdom to make us wise unto salvation. Next, we looked at to have the word of Christ richly dwell in us. Paul says that the word of Christ is to dwell in you and in me. Through the Spirit, the word of God, the word of Christ, is to have a fixed and constant place within us. To dwell, it's to be in us. It's to have a fixed place within us. The word of God should not be like a stranger, just some passerby. No, the word of God should be like a family member who dwells within our household. When a person takes up a permanent residence with you, it's not long before there's a bond of communication between the two of you, and love and respect grow in that relationship. So it is. And as time is spent together, there's familiarity develops. You grow in knowledge of one another and an affection for one another. And so it is when the Word of God dwells within us, when it has a fixed abode within us, we develop an inward experimental knowledge of it. And we have a constant conversation with it. The Word speaking to us and us speaking to the Word. Dialoguing, going back and forth. We said that's what meditation is. It's like a cow chewing on a cud. We just keep chewing on it, and thinking about it. It doesn't just come in and then go out. It comes in and we ponder and we wonder. And we examine ourselves, and we examine God, and we examine his way, and we measure ourselves, and we ponder, and we think, and we rejoice and delight in. And it's to dwell richly within us. Again, John Gill said, his meaning is that not one part of Scripture only should be regarded and attended to, but the whole of it. every truth and doctrine in it, even the whole counsel of God. There is a fullness in the scripture, an abundance of truth in the gospel, a large affluence of it. It is a rich treasure, an invaluable mine of precious truth, all which should have their place and their full extent in both preacher and hearer. Let the word of God dwell in you. Let it dwell in you richly. Now we want to move forward. Now we want to move forward. But moving forward was a challenge for me. To get through this text became difficult. And it became difficult because of a comma. I'll explain. When we look at this text, I compared it with three other versions that we at Providence use here. I looked at the New American Standard, the New King James, and the King James. And they all relatively say the same thing. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, comma, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, comma, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Then I looked at the New King James. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, comma, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, comma, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then I looked at the King James. I know some of you use that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, comma, or semicolon, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, comma, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In these translations, this in the New American Standard, New King James, King James, we see there's three commands there. We're to let the word of Christ richly dwell in us, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we are to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. But when we go to the ESV, which is another version that's very popular, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, comma, teaching and admonishing one another with all in all wisdom, comma, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, comma, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. One little comma, and I scratch, where should I go with this? Because there is a difference. It's not major. It's not going to cause us to throw our Bibles away. But as someone who's trying to prepare a message for you and for me, I had to make a decision. Because here we see there's four commands. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And with thankfulness in your hearts to God. What would I do? What should I do? Where do I go? Well, there is another text. And it's in Ephesians 5. 18 and 19, which is very similar. Paul says there, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It seems pretty clear here that Paul envisions believers communicating truth and knowledge and instructions. How? By means of the form of singing. Paul's saying there in Ephesians, but we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So in Colossians, it seems reasonable, and the translation seems right. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. You see, what threw me off is we're so used to saying we teach one another through preaching, through Bible study. But how can I teach and admonish through singing? So it can't be right, but it is right. It's there. Through singing, we teach and admonish one another. Well, how can that be? Well, have patience. Let's work through this. The word of Christ is to dwell richly in us. And when the word is in us, we benefit from its mighty force and influence because it instructs us and directs us. And we all agree with that, I hope. It gives us strength and comfort and grace. And as the word dwells in us richly, we become full of Scripture and full of the grace of Christ. And this leads us to wisdom. It always does. Old Matthew Henry said, the proper office of wisdom is to apply what we know to ourselves, to apply the word to ourselves. For our own direction, the word of Christ must dwell in us, not in all notion and speculation, nor to make us doctors. And he doesn't mean medical doctors, he means theological doctors. But in all wisdom, to make us good Christians, and enable us to conduct ourselves in everything as becomes wisdom's children. So with wisdom, we are through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to teach and admonish one another. So that tells me something. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, and the fruit of it is wisdom. And with wisdom, we can teach and admonish one another. But the text says we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's telling me that there's an equality or there is a correspondence between the word of Christ and what we sing. We must be singing the word of Christ. With wisdom, we can use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs because their content has the word of Christ in it, which gave us wisdom. So we can use hymns and psalms and spiritual songs to exhort and encourage one another and teach one another. Because in wisdom and being filled with the word, we're singing the word to one another. Sam Storm says, clearly Paul envisioned songs that were biblically grounded and theologically substantive. Songs that both communicated truth and called for heartfelt consecration, repentance, and devotion to the Lord. Let's also not forget that Paul is describing a situation far in advance of the printing press in hymn books. Thus, these various expressions of singing were an invaluable means for transmitting and inculcating Christian truth. I know what you are thinking. How do we teach someone by singing? How can singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs admonish a believer? I think the rest of the text helps us. He says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, when we sing, first, our singing is not random or aimless. It's not whistling old Susanna, although we can if you want to. But when it comes to admonishing and teaching one another, first, our focus, we sing unto God. We sing with thankfulness unto God. So there's the focus. It's unto God. In the Psalms and in our Christian songs, God is the focus of our faith, the object of our praise, the one to whom we lift our hearts in wonder and awe. In our singing, we respond to God who saved us and called us to be his people. We sing of God's mighty deeds. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Excuse me.
our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. We sing to him. We sing of his wonder. The Psalms are full of the wonders of God. There are whole songs recorded in the Psalms that read to Israel the history of the people and the wonder of God in their deliverance. We sing of incarnation. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. We sing of the man of sorrows. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We sing of atonement. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I forget the tune. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We sing out to God for a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. We sing psalms. We sing hymns. We sing spiritual songs about God. About his work, about his word. We sing songs of Jesus Christ, his person, his office. We sing songs of the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about the church, the people of God. We sing songs as to Christ, the only way to salvation. We sing songs of Christian life, songs of forgiveness, songs of obedience, songs of conflict with sin. Songs of warfare, songs of tribulation and suffering. We sing songs of prayer and love and Christ and love for God and trust, submission, peace and joy and perseverance. You hear it in the people of God. This is what we sing. No wonder the psalmist cried out, O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. Now listen to this. As we sing, it is here that we are most vulnerable and open and honest. Singing is an expression of our most heartfelt adoration, hopes, and desires to God. And I don't know about you, but when I sing, my heart trembles. Because many times I'm speaking the words and my heart is not there. And I'm singing the words in repentance. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And in my mind, I'm confessing my sins as I sing it. Sometimes I question, sometimes, can people really be sincere that sing the songs they sing? They seem to love God so much. There are songs sometimes that point me and say, Jack, look, you know, be thou my vision. Oh, yes, Lord, I yearn for that, for you to be my vision. But there are other songs that just lay me to the floor. You know, we sing here, I love you, Lord, and I live my word. And I'm singing and I'm going, oh, if the people only knew my thoughts 3 minutes before I was singing. This is why I believe in singing. And that's why singing is part of the people of God. It's been part of the church. It's been forever because it does. And singing to one, we sing horizontally to God. We praise him, worship him, and wonder and awe. But in the ministry of the song, it's horizontal as well. It is. It's preaching to us. It's challenging our hearts. It's educating us. Oh, that the Lord would open our mouth that we may declare his praise. Oh, that the people next door in the apartment buildings would hear a thunder come out of Providence. Did you know in Zephaniah 3, it says that God sang over his people? Psalm 29 says, the voice of the Lord is like thunder. The voice of the Lord is like thunder, and if God is singing, the world will hear. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us so examine our hearts, let us challenge ourselves that when we sing praises unto him, it'll be full of joy. That's why in Psalm 100, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. And that's why Paul says we're to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Did you know that one of the condemning sins of mankind, Paul says in Romans 1:21, is they were not thankful. But for the Christian, we are thankful. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? I set myself up because I want to sing to you. Make a noise to you, okay? So, just give me a sec. I hope everything's tuned. Not too bad. One of the things of being a Christian, when we sing to God, we sing our, so we don't hide from God. In this song, I took it from Psalm 73 and a few other psalms, but Christians are so honest as we sing about where we're at. And only a Christian can understand this, that the more you see your sin, the more you see the wonder of God. And the wonder of God just makes you want to keep going, to keep going.
I was angry, I was bitter, oh, I envied the world of the lost. I felt my life was running on empty, and serving God, it just was not worth the cost. Oh, my heart was so embittered in me. Your word, it pierced me deep within. I asked you, Father God, oh, please forgive me. Then your spirit made me sing. the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. Oh. I was falling down. You reached out with your right hand. You kept me falling to the ground. My flesh, my hurt, oh, they often fail me. Lord, my strength forever be. Father God, my portion be forever. Let me ever sing to thee. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want.
Can you relate to that? You had those times in your life when you just recognize your strength, where your strength is not in yourselves. And the Word of God is full of those kind of exhortations. You can search the Psalms and find the people of God confessing and crying out to God, asking Him for their strength. But the Word of God also exalts our God. And I ask you to listen to this song.
Oh, come all ye people, behold your God, seated majestic on his throne. Enter his presence, humbly bow, in adoration, praise his name. And the angels, they hover round the throne, with wing cover their eyes. As they look upon the great and awesome God, they cry, holy. They cry, holy. They cry, holy are you, Lord. So come, all ye people, behold your God, seated majestic on his throne. Enter his presence, humbly bow. In adoration, praise his name. The saints in heaven, they bow before the throne, gladly lay down their crowns at the feet of he who is the Lamb. And they cry, worthy, they cry, worthy, they cry, worthy are you, Lord. So come, all ye people, behold your God, seated majestic on his throne. Enter his presence and humbly bow. In adoration, praise his name. And the nations who deny our God will gladly bend the knee at the feet of he who is the Lord. And they'll cry, holy. And they'll cry, worthy. And they'll cry, Jesus, you are Lord. So come, all ye people, behold your God, seated majestic on his throne. Enter his presence, humbly bow. In adoration, praise his name.
So God's people, we sing of our relationship with him. We sing of our struggles and woes, but we hang on to God because he's on our side. But we also tremble at his throne. The mighty and holy God. But you know something? Let's get up here for a second. Let's get things out here. There we go. Singing to God, Jesus said, pretty crowded up here. Jesus said this, that the kingdom of God, we enter it just like little children. And little children, you too can sing to God. The word of God is the word of God for all of God's people and for his church. And as little children, you can sing. God made the sun, he made the moon, made the stars, and the sky blue, made the flowers, he made the bumblebee too, ooh. And he made them for his glory, that all the world may see that he is God Almighty, and in him we believe. Now, children, you can help me, okay? Ready? La 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 la
God made Juliana, God made Jacob, and God made Joshua, and God made Josie, and God made Jaden too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And God made Jared, and God made Jordan, and God made Thomas, and God made Caleb, God made Zoe Lynn, and God made Nathaniel too. And God made Elizabeth, and God made Eden, and God made Aaron, and God made Eva, God made Lydia, and God made Isabel too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hope I haven't missed anyone. And he made them for his glory, for all the world to see, that he is God Almighty, and in him we believe. Do you believe? Let's sing together, even big people. La 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 la. God made the sun, he made the moon, made the stars, the sky blue, made the flowers, he made the bumblebee too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He is our God. He calls us to sing his praises and to be thankful. Mommy and Dad, young and old, all who come into his presence are to sing with joy, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and songs, to be thankful to God. Has God put a song on your heart? If he has, shout for joy. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as the psalmist said, Lord, would you open our lips, our mouth, may we declare your praise. May Providence be a loving, worshipful, thankful church, our God. And Father, as we sing our praises to you, I pray we would allow the Spirit, oh God, and in the wisdom of the Christ, the Word of Christ dwelling in us, may, Lord, we lift up our voice to you, but may we also teach and admonish one another in psalm, in hymn, and song. For your glory, O God, for our growth, to help us persevere unto the end. In Jesus' name.